from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
I think that Jed is as accessible as anybody. We say it all the time. I was just a little surprised that he was as definitive as he sounded.
But the only thing I would say definitively is that, like, I think making moves simply for 24, you know, given where we are, is probably not what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. So this is the final week before you really have to make a decision on anything. And, oh, by the way, you're playing the number one team in your division.
The lead by Swanson at second, and the 0-1. Nico hits a ground ball to the second baseman, Terang, and the ball game is over. And Milwaukee hangs on to win by a score of 1-0.
I think at this stage, I see them logically not being aggressive and going out to get a rental because you don't want to give up a prospect for something in this season that you already maybe have, you know, accepted what you are and what you're not.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Intelligent spending.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mm. Oh, goodness gracious. Feels like we ought to play Taps to open the show this morning, David. It feels like hope is dying. I don't know if you're paying attention.
Morning, Mully. Yeah, it's Wednesday. Hope has...
It's
left
limping.
The building.
Hope is walking with a limp.
So that's why Jed Hoyer gave up.
That was about as frustrating as any game you're ever going to see.
Yeah, well, that's as frustrating as the last time the Cubs didn't score runs or a run or were shut out.
And that's recent too, right?
That's
twice in three games.
That's exactly right. And I think that's what's frustrating. So we can come in here yesterday and study and examine and discuss all of the reasons why Jed said what he said and what it means and how it bothers us. But then you watch them anemically, feebly go to the plate and fail to score runs. And you're like, okay, I get it now.
Feeble offense. That's they had, they were what? They had 10 guys on base, couldn't knock in a run. They had the bases loaded a couple times, couldn't knock in.
Too good of a lineup to be that bad.
I wonder who's the guy? I mean, who is the guy? Is it Cody Bellinger? Who's their best offensive player?
Missing?
Yeah.
Unsigned?
Yes.
On the injured list?
On another
Not
team?
Not there. On another team. Yes. I don't know. What's J.D. Martinez hitting? I don't want to get caught up on any one specific guy they didn't get.
No,
but didn't get somebody.
That's the point, is that they don't have the guy. You're not sitting there thinking, oh, this is the guy. Oh, here he goes.
Well, once this guy gets hot,
They're pulling Bush and they're putting in Patrick Wisdom. What a brilliant move.
You know, sometimes when we lump things generally in a direction of, okay, the Cubs are bad as a group offensively, I think it's accurate. Yeah. But I also think it does give Dansby Swanson a huge pass.
Yes, it does.
He is the guy who is the most paid, player, position player, player overall, right? Yeah, he's the highest paid Cub.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that I think has had the widest gap between expectations and results.
Right.
He gets paid a lot of money, and he has disappointed a lot of people. He can't hit. He's not hitting this year.
Yeah, when you don't have the guy, when you don't have somebody that can put the team on his back, then you have a lot of guys that you look at and you wonder, well, why is he getting this, and does he deserve that? And because you don't have anybody. You know, maybe it is Cody Bellinger when he comes back. It was great to see him in the batting cage. He's great.
It was good to see him back.
Yeah.
And he looked as...
He looked concentrated and good, and
Focused and unfazed. Can you be both at the same time?
Yeah, he looks like Cody Bellinger.
Yeah. It looked good.
Yep.
And I hope he's back soon. I don't know when.
He needs to come back yesterday.
But he's not.
If I'm following this.
He needs to come back yesterday, yeah. Because his middle finger is hurting, and the Cubs' middle fingers are, or Cub fans' middle fingers are active.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That's one way of putting it.
Well, this is frustrating. Yeah. They had an opportunity. What did we say? Sweep or bust?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that dramatic.
I think they got to win the series.
They have to win the series. They got the ace going today. Justin Steele on the mound. Day game. Wrigley Field.
They got to win the day game. They're good in day games.
We know that for sure?
Not a clue.
We have to figure that out.
I just think traditionally over the years.
All right, let's get the Cubs records in day games.
Oh, boy.
I want to know. I want to know if this is a reason for optimism.
I like a day game. How's that work?
We all do.
Yeah.
But does that mean we have to watch the Sox undivided attention too after the Cubs game?
Oh, boy.
I like dividing my attention with the Sox.
Yeah. The Sox I can't bear anymore.
I will get back to the Cubs. I don't understand how the Sox can't execute when the Rangers try a double steal and everybody watching the game and in the ballpark know it's coming. And Nicky Lopez can't do one or the other, and they allow the Rangers to hoodwink them. How does that happen?
I don't think they're a very good baseball
team. Bad fundamental baseball
team.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, I'm not talking,
fundamental.
I mean, they're obviously not an exceptionally talented team.
Yeah, but
the way they play the game, and again, you got to wonder about the manager. You got to wonder about the way they're teaching the sport to people.
You can't be both. You can't be untalented and unaware.
You've got to be, if you're as untalented as they are, you got to be excellent in the other elements of the game.
You can't be bad and dumb.
Yeah.
You have to be, you can be good and dumb. You can be bad and smart, but you can't be bad and dumb.
They're bad and they're dumb. I mean, that is like, what's left?
Put it on a t-shirt.
It's so,
a lot of t-shirts.
So awful. We got it's too bad. Many t-shirts.
Too many.
Oh,
too many.
Goodness gracious.
White Sox 2024. It's personal. There's a lot of slogans going around. Not a lot of winning. Yeah. 9 straight losses for the White Sox. The Cubs have an opportunity to win the series. And then what? I think maybe, you know, they needed to win the series. They can't lose it. They can't lose it without. What are the consequences if they lose it? I don't quite know. It's just more the same rhetoric. It's just more the same disappointment.
Well,
it's just very familiar and redundant.
If they get shut out today,
oh geez, stop!
I think Dustin quits. I think he just says no more. Can't
no mas.
Can't live day to day.
Podcast
too many
unplugged.
People would be cheering for that.
Yeah. No.
What would the podcast?
Here's the good news: the Cubs don't play tomorrow.
Yeah, they're off tomorrow.
Thursday's an off day.
Thank goodness.
Wow, isn't that awful? That you hear they're not playing and you feel a sense of relief. But yeah, I mean, games like last night's. Is it worth 85 minutes of lost sleep to stay up and watch that?
Rain delay. So. Where did that come from? Did we know that was happening? What happened to this weather? It's so unpredictable.
I got a notice that it was going to rain at 4:00 in the morning, and it didn't. It had already rained, but I got enough issues. I don't need Alexa telling me it's going to rain tomorrow.
Yeah.
I got to turn off that feature.
It was a long rain delay. I didn't think it would be 84 minutes. It's an hour and a half.
It's a lot of rain, too. I mean, it was like, it was coming down in sheets.
Deluge.
It was.
It was a deluge.
Yeah. It was quick. Like, if that happened for a day,
oh man,
mother of God, there'd be more trees falling.
You're looking for the ark.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was that sort of a sudden rainstorm where, like, even I was like, hey, it's really coming down. And I'm looking at Zach's photos as he's updating things, and because I stopped watching the minute it was going rain delay. I started doing
Zach
other
likes
things.
To keep people updated.
This is why we're
on
in
his
delay.
Twitter feed.
And I'm looking at it like, wow.
Zach's a very good press box photographer or radio booth photographer. The vantage point is the same.
Zach's good at a lot of things.
Yes, he is. Very talented. Very talented broadcaster.
No
versatile.
No question about it.
A lot of Bears thoughts.
Good man.
A lot of Bears thoughts. He can't fit them all in the course of a game or pregame, postgame, fifth inning. He's got a lot of Bears thoughts.
Oh, boy. We have a lot of Bears thoughts. We're going to talk a lot about the Bears. It's just the lead story has got to be the runless Cubs. How do you have that game sitting there for you? You want to get into a playoff race? You want to get into the playoffs as a wild card? And guess what? The pitching staff, once again, the best ERA in baseball over the month of July. It seems like, wow, if they get in the playoffs, what a dangerous team. How are they going to get there?
Yeah, Jim Bowden.
If they can't score a bloody run.
Said that a couple weeks ago,
right. And
he's right. And Jameson Taillon deserved better. He has been very good. He was as good as he
was real good
as he has been the last month or so. Actually, when you look at Cubs.com, they did a nice job of looking at his last 33 starts, essentially the last year of production, a season's worth of sample. And he has been what they expected him to be.
He was so dejected sounding in the postgame. Yeah, I'm not saying this is the case, but it sounded like someone told him, you're out of here.
Let's hear that.
It really did. It sounded as if someone had said it to him. Just like
free agency is kind of a two-way street. Like, the team commits to you and they pay you handsomely and pay you money, and then you do your homework as a player and you grind to make it to free agency, and it's a big honor to even get there and have teams interested in you. And then, you know, you get to vet teams and think about cities and where you want to live and maybe buy a house. So there's a lot that goes into it, and it's a two-way commitment. It's kind of like a little mini marriage. I've had a great time here. I love showing up here every day. It's a great group of guys. I think we've said it a lot. Like, I feel like we should be better than we are. But to this point, we just haven't gotten it done, and results speak louder than, you know, any words we can say here. So, I would love to stay here. Obviously, I chose coming to Chicago and being a Cub. So that's where I'm at.
I don't know if he sounds dejected or matter of fact. There's a slight difference, right? I think
but
if
the
he sounds,
tone of it, I mean, he had a really good outing.
He did. He deserved better.
He did deserve better.
I don't think that sounded like goodbye necessarily. I hope it's not.
I hope it's not either, but it sounded like someone told him, hey, this could be goodbye.
He's pretty aware. I mean, he's one of the more self-aware players in that clubhouse. I got to think that that was on his mind. He did a nice job of compartmentalizing it if it was. He knows. Because I think he talked about also when he was a young prospect with the Pirates. And one of his coaches told him that when in the backfield, whenever you pitch, and he saw all the scouts there at spring training, whenever you pitch, essentially you're pitching for every team in Major League Baseball. And he says it's the same thing every time he goes out as a major leaguer. I hope he stays. If he goes, I think it's a huge statement about where the Cubs are, and I wouldn't like what it says.
I just had a flashback because years ago I was in the press box, the press room at Halas Hall, and Dave Wannstedt walked in, and he had just cut Shane Matthews, like, for about the fourth or fifth time or whatever. Shane was constantly being cut. And Moon says to him, John Mullen from the Arlington Herald at the time says to him, how did Shane take it? How did Shane take it? And Dave was like not expecting the question. And he was surprised. He said, well, Shane knows. Shane knows. He knows. He knows. And then Dave left. And we were like, what do you think he means? Like, Shane knows. Like, Shane knows he stinks. Like, what? What exactly is the self-knowledge he possesses after he gets caught?
What did he mean? Like he knew that he was going to be back and forth on the shuttle?
He knew he was done.
Yeah.
Well, it was so funny to hear, just to say it, well, he knows. Like, you know, what does he know? But what he knows is that he picked Chicago, and he came here, and they paid him handsomely, and now they can trade him. He can't pick where he goes because he's getting paid handsomely. That's what was so interesting about what he said. That's the reality of baseball. And he's telling you, I bought a house here. This is a marriage, and they want out of it. That's kind of how it sounded to me.
They're looking for ways to make the most of that investment, to get a return on that investment. I don't know if the best return on that investment isn't keeping him. I think that is the best way to get the return on Jameson Taillon. I really do. I think that it's hard for me to say yesterday in response to what Jed Hoyer said about any move they make will be with 2025 in mind.
Yes.
And then a day later endorse the idea of them trading one of their most consistent starting pitchers. He is one of the most consistent starting pitchers.
And that's the strength of the team, and is the consistency of their starting.
Keep your strength a strength.
Right.
In any sport, in any team building, any roster construction, keep your strength a strength. I don't know how you accomplish that or get closer to that by trading one of your most consistent starting pitchers. So I would be very disappointed if that was Jameson Taillon's last start. I'm not advocating keep everybody because it's not working, but you've got to be disciplined here. I don't think you trade him just because the deadline is upon you.
Well, if you have concluded, and I'm not saying they've come to this conclusion, but having a couple of shutout games, right? Scoreless games in a week before the trade deadline, it's telling you something if you're listening closely enough. So, you know, Dansby Swanson is the highest paid guy at $26 million. Mm-hmm. Ian Happ and Seiya Suzuki, $21 million. Then comes Jameson Taillon at $18 million. And he's got enough. I'm just saying, he's the most movable of those guys. What I'm saying,
what are you saying? You're not the Pirates. You're not the Royals. You're not the Rays.
No.
Don't tell me salary dump.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't tell me salary dump.
If they trade him, it's because he makes $18 million
a year. And then if that is true, and I'm not arguing with the premise, believe me, but then you think Cub fans were upset in hearing the concession and the defeat in Jed Hoyer's voice the other day? If they trade Jameson Taillon and it is perceived and interpreted as a salary dump, that would be cause for a bad reaction.
You know what, though, David?
I mean, I would be furious at that.
I'm not arguing whether or not you'd be furious. Do you think there'd be one person that would not show up at Wrigley Field because they traded a guy due to his salary?
That's a good point. And now that nowadays you can show up at Wrigley Field and wear whatever profane T-shirt you want, apparently. Did you see that?
Profanity's back.
Profanity's back at Wrigley, apparently.
It's back in all aspects of our life.
They should probably enforce that a little bit better.
Yeah.
Just by the way. But you're right. There's not going to be that kind of measured response or immediate response in terms of staying away or turning off the radio or TV or whatever. Cub fans are going to flock. But you can still be frustrated.
I agree.
And you can still voice your opposition and your problems. We're talking to Carter Hawkins. We're scheduled to tomorrow. I don't think we're going to, you know, pound the fist and say don't trade J-Mo, but I would be pretty ticked off if they traded J-Mo.
You should wear your Don't Blaken Trade J-Mo t-shirt.
Can I get one by tomorrow?
I'm sure. you ask, you shall receive.
Am I overreacting here? I mean, I know it's just Jameson Taillon, but I think like
it's theoretically
right.
What is going on is what you're reacting
but
to.
But the way you interpreted it is correct. And I think that's what I was looking for because this isn't a franchise that in the midst of trying to figure out if they're buyers or sellers or contending
yes,
or not.
They need not worry of that.
They shouldn't worry about payroll right now.
That's exactly correct.
And I would be – and there was only one reason why you would trade a pitcher making what he's making under team control for the next 2 years when you theoretically want to contend. It would be money.
It's the only reason you can come up with. How old is J-Mo? Is he
32?
Yeah. So it's not just money. It's, you know, we're building for next year. Is he with us next year? Yeah, he's with you next year. What about 2 years down the line? That's all this is about. And by the way, if you read what Dustino's putting together for us, there are all sorts of little notes in here about various pitchers. Edward Alzai pitching in the Arizona Complex League tonight. Caleb Killian throwing with Iowa tonight. Keegan Thompson throwing a live batting practice in Arizona.
Yep.
I'm not saying those are replacements for him.
Thorough and dedicated and detailed research.
But you got guys coming back. At some point, Dustin won't say when, Ben Brown will come back.
Do you not want that information?
I love that information.
He finds it irrelevant to whether or not you trade Jamie.
Hold on, let me. Can there be an audible shrug? I mean, I'm talking about Jamison Tyone, Adelbert Alzolay, Keegan Thompson.
I love that you did an exaggerated shrug to
Caleb Killian
on Twitch.
None of those developments change anything about the reality about Jamison Tyone. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
It's great research. We're going to incorporate that into our conversation, I think, about what you do in the bullpen. Thank you, Dustin, for getting that together. I don't think it pertains to Jamison Tyone. I think you keep the guy, and next year you go in with Steele, Shota, and Tyone, and whatever else you get from your younger guys that are maybe developing, whatever else you get in free agency or a trade, because you've got to stay active and you have money to spend, then we're talking. But you don't get rid of those three guys.
I got to say that when they first paid Jamison Tyone, and when we first saw him and he was injury waylaid and all the rest of it, I thought, not the greatest investment I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But as I've watched him continue to play, and as he bailed you out a little bit this year, I've thought to myself, that's pretty good signing. Pretty good player.
I think it is. When you hear Nico Hoerner say it's his favorite guy to watch, and he has invested a lot in what he has learned from James, and just from watching Jamison Tyone and how much time he's invested in. I think that tells a lot about what kind of teammate he is. He's just a consummate pro.
Yeah.
And not just because he's a great guest, but he's also a consummate pro. And he's worth keeping. So I hope they keep him.
Yeah.
But they've got a lot of business to do. They got a lot of decisions to make. Not as many as Chris Getz, but
Chris Getz, the clock's ticking.
Tick, 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 tick.
Yeah.
Tick.
You gotta at some point, you know, do something.
Don't Garrett
you?
Crochet's last start?
Garrett Crochet's next start will be with the Dodgers.
Wow. That's coming back. All right. 550. Molly predicts Garrett Crochet's next start will be with the Dodgers.
That's a terrible thing to have to say.
But it's not outrageous to consider.
No. I think it's
seem very fixated based on the rumors you continue to hear and reports you see. I just wonder. I really do wonder. I'm not arguing with you because I think that's unfortunately going to be the case. Right. I wonder about the size of the package. I wonder about how many other players will be involved.
It's definitely worth considering. It just feels like they're the team with everything. And, you know, they have need, they have players, they have, and they're talking, and I don't know, you're right. I don't know if it's just him or if there's more to it. I would like them to keep each deal separate unless you could trade somebody with somebody.
Just let me ask you a question about Michael Kopech.
Yes.
So he went from closer
to seventh inning guy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that was?
Because they're trading him.
What do you mean by they're trading him?
They're not going to put him in high leverage situations because he's going to have to do that for another team.
Or maybe other teams are talking to want to see what he looks like in the seventh or eighth because he's going to be their setup guy. And maybe they're saying, hey, how about giving us a look at what Kopech looks like in the seventh or eighth in the setup role.
I think if someone told me that, I would tell them something else that you would wear on a t-shirt.
I don't know that not you would. You, I don't know somebody. That you would.
I think I would.
If you're a first-time general manager, would you know what to tell them?
Well, no, that's a different story.
Why do you think Brooks Baldwin is up? Do you think any teams that they're talking to want to get a look at him as a major leaguer?
No, I think that...
I'm just asking rhetorical questions.
I don't think that's the case.
I'm just wondering.
I honestly think that he's one of the guys that was doing well, and they're taking a look at him.
And might be shopping him for
Why him?
I'm just wondering if I'm wondering if some of the Sox decisions at the major league level in the lineup, how they're using players, Tommy Pham batting third, finally batting third.
Yeah, Tommy Pham is
because they want to. They're listening to the teams they're negotiating trades with.
If they're doing that, then they're even worse than I thought they were. Honestly. I mean, I know how bad they are, and I know how pathetic everything is, but if they're actually being instructed by opponents as to how to line them up, maybe we'll take them, bam, third for a couple of days, then, I mean, again.
Fam to a lesser degree, but made me wonder. Okay, Kopech, I have heard, suggested that, and it doesn't make me wonder. I think that's probably part of the conversation.
And you know what? I don't think that harms you doing that. I really don't. I don't think just moving him to a different spot and taking some of the pressure off him and seeing how he looks doing that, I don't think that's a problem. I don't have any problem with that. But if you're doing it on instruction, then what kind of puppet are you?
Suggestion. Suggestion versus instruction. That's semantics.
We want to see him as a 7th.
We'd love to see what he looks like in the eighth inning. Maybe we'll take him.
Thank you, sir. I will be back to ask for a trade.
Thank you, Mr. Friedman. That's what he looks like in the eighth. Would you take him now? Look, if the Dodgers want to see what Michael Kopech looks like in the seventh and eighth as a prerequisite to taking him off your hands, I'm saying get ready in the seventh or eighth.
I'm saying tell them to go blank themselves.
The deal's dead.
That's fine by me. I can move on and trade him somewhere else.
How about Benintendi? Would you take him too, please?
Oh, boy. He had a home run.
Nice homer.
Yeah. Let's see how he looks batting seventh.
Oh, man. There you go. Yeah. You know what? Take him out of the lineup for a week. Maybe we'll draft him. Maybe we'll trade for him. No.
Just asking.
All right. We got so much to get to. It's ridiculous. We've got so many stories of the day to break apart. Some happy, some sad, and we'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw, the Pick 6, coming up on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Pick 6 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick 6, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit FeelGreatIllinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or their weight loss options. Where are you with the Cubs this morning after last night's game? Do you believe you learned something about this team or its future? What is your biggest takeaway?
Well, I mean, there's no getting around that zero. I mean, I don't know how you don't look at that game and imagine the runs not scored. It's just, it is twice you get the bases loaded. It is so disappointing. I don't know how many games you win when you can't score a single bloody run, and to lose 1-0 by allowing a late run, I don't know how you – that has to be one of the worst losses of the year, because you absolutely wasted a good starting performance. Wasn't the greatest I've ever seen. He struggled a little bit, but he worked through everything. That is a professional, good baseball game, and you wasted it. And I think that as you look at the various moments in the game, you keep looking at their lineup, and you want to know, like, who's the man? Who's the guy? Who's going to be the guy? I mean, Ian Happ hit a home run yesterday. He's capable of doing some things. I don't know what Seiya Suzuki is. I thought he was a pretty good player. I thought he was a guy that was going to have a kind of breakout season. You know, Michael Bush has been really good, but that's not, it's almost like really good, like Anthony Rizzo was really good after he went back down to the minors. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's ready to take off. I don't think he's ready to carry a team. I think he's a good player, but he's not the guy that you thought he'd be. So to me, it's about what they don't have right now as much as it's about what they do have. And they're missing that one slugger you can count on every time up that's going to do great things. This is not a Schwindy City.
What did I learn last night? The Cubs still can't hit with runners in scoring position. The Cubs can't get a guy over to third base unless there's two outs. We finally got to see Julian Merriweather come into a game, and he's like the rest of the closers. He can strike you out, but he also can't completely shut the other team down. So he has two strikeouts, but he allows the hit that puts them ahead after Tyone gives up two singles. And then, you know, my question would be, you know, again, the use of that, were they, to the point about Garrett Crochet, or to the point about our last segment, we were having a little bit of fun, but in all seriousness, trying to show teams that might be interested in your people what they can do. So you were, that was the first time Tyone got into the eighth inning this year for the Cubs. So, and then what happened? He gave up two hits. So did that all of a sudden, you know, knock the price tag down a little bit? So did they foul that up? But hey, that's what the that's what the Yankees wanted to see. They wanted to see, hey, Jed, we're interested in your pitcher. We're interested in getting James and Tyone back, but we need to see him get into the eighth. Well, it didn't work out. Yeah. So you lost a game that you needed to win.
I'm glad to know that every move on both sides of town is determined.
I don't think that's valid. I think the White Sox may have fallen into that because of guys in different roles. I don't think they're going Tyone longer because
I think you could have went to Merriweather to start that inning.
You know what you have in Jameson Tyone. Everybody in the league knows what the Cubs have in Jameson Tyone or what you would be trading for. I learned nothing I didn't already know. The Cubs' strength is starting pitching. Jameson Tyone is a pro who's had a very solid season, and they can't hit. They don't have anybody in that lineup that scares you. So I didn't learn anything, and everything I already knew about the Cubs was reinforced. How did I feel watching the Cubs? I felt fed up and frustrated, yeah, mad at myself for caring enough to think that they could sweep the Brewers and make Jed Hoyer sound like a guy who had prematurely given up. And I really get mad at myself for, like, this fan stuff's for the birds. I mean, it's much easier when you're like being objective and, you know, all the Cubs are so disappointing. They're so frustrating. And I would think that emotion would be difficult to process if you are in charge of this team like Jed Hoyer is. But you've got to stay disciplined. You've got to stay steady. And they don't have to get rid of guys just because a trade deadline is staring you in the face and everybody's wondering what you're going to do. It would be a mistake to trade Jameson Tyone. If you want to hold him accountable for his words, and we should, he said he won't make a move unless it helps 2025. Well, trading Jameson Tyone doesn't help you win in 2025. Regardless of what happens the rest of 2024, keep him. You got 2 years left and he's good.
I mean, I think you asked like four questions there.
That's Craig Counsell. Craig Counsell said that nothing has changed since Jed Hoyer declared the Cubs as likely to be idle at the trade deadline.
Do you believe this team still is good enough to rally and be playoff viable at this point?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think, look, the standings indicate that we're not a playoff team right now, and you can't ignore that. But we still have 60, 58 opportunities in front of us to change that. And that's how you approach it. But absolutely, we have not put ourselves in a spot where we can play well enough to put ourselves in a playoff conversation. Absolutely.
But so this is one of those things where we process it differently than you do. So that's why it doesn't matter if you need necessarily even tell the players. Nothing has changed for you guys.
Nothing has changed for us. That's right.
Do you believe him?
I believe he believes that. I believe Craig Counsell believes that. I think that he has to believe that. If I'm the manager, I want to always believe that if you are in charge of a team like Craig Counsell is and where the Cubs are in the standings, you've got to believe that you're capable of going and running off 8 out of 10, or you're capable of going on a win streak that changes your dynamic. And I'm trying to be oblivious, if I'm the manager, of what my general manager says or my team president says publicly. Now, it's impossible, and this is where it's implausible, to think that the players aren't going to know when nothing changes for them. I think there's a story in the Sun-Times that reflects, you know, how this got made its way through the clubhouse. Players understand. Doesn't have to be a team meeting, an announcement. Hey, guys, see that? Where's the white towel? We're waving it now. No, I don't think they do that. They've got to believe they're professionals. You go to work, you try to win. But I think Craig Counsell's got to say what he said. I'm glad he loosened up there. That was Craig Counsell loose, right? He's going to loosen up one day, right? With those guys soon?
I know Coom has told us that he has been to Las Vegas with Craig Counsell, and I'd love to be a fly on the wall to see a loose Craig Counsell. I mean, maybe they're using that old soccer slogan, or I don't know if it's soccer specific, but I remember when the men in the World Cup a few years back, I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win. That, like, is that ringing out in the Cubs clubhouse? I believe that we will. No, absolutely not.
I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win.
Great.
But let's record that and send that over.
That
to
was from, no, that's from, what was that not from, I think it was one of the academies. I think that's one of the military academies, football programs or something, and they took that from them, Dustin. I'm
okay.
Pretty sure.
Well, I don't believe it. I don't believe that he believes that he thinks he has a team that can do something in late September or October. He's Craig Tember. He's not Craig Tober.
Yeah. Listen, you can manage all you want. You can make all the moves you want. You can be told by your general manager you got to play this guy or that guy. Like, the problem you have is you decide, you know, I like Michael Bush. He's been doing great. He's a young guy. Maybe someday, but right now, let's go with the veteran Patrick Wisdom because he's got home run power. And then he gets up and you're like, well, he's got warning track power. It's just you make a move to win and it doesn't work and you just feel even more deflated than you did when you started. I don't care how great the manager is. You got to have ball players and guys that can meet big moments. And they did not meet a single moment. They have it now for a couple of times this week.
It's the Navy.
It was the Navy. Yeah, I told you. I'm not an idiot.
In the Navy.
I didn't say you were an idiot.
You called me an idiot.
You said military academy. I'm just specifying. It was the Navy.
I knew it was one of the services.
Yes sir.
So when you just asked that question, I started racking my brain. Off the top of my head, I don't even know.
That's Tommy Hotovy. He'll be here early, 7:25 with you guys this morning. Which Cubs reliever would you think is most likely to be traded? How about the Cubs reliever that is the least likeliest to be traded?
Well, Hector Neris wins in a landslide, right? I mean, Hector Neris, it's not even close. He's the veteran guy that you can use in big moments. He's done so before. He's also at an age where you don't want him back next year, right? If it's about next year, that's a guy that you brought in for a singular role It hasn't worked out spectacularly, but he's been solid and he's tradable. And his, I think he's the winner because he doesn't. It just look at the criteria that Jed laid out. It's about next year. I don't think he fits in next year. And I think in the back of their head, they want to make sure that they don't give him enough appearances where he fits in. Does that contract carry over elsewhere? Because it's someone else's problem.
It's a contract. It's a contract. Contract's a contract.
All right.
It's transferable.
So that's a problem for whoever wants to take him. I'm just saying.
You want this contract, Yankees?
Yeah, I think they can handle it.
Dodgers, you want this contract?
Yeah, I think they can handle it. Okay. I think he's the guy that will be traded. As far as least likely, well, it's someone like Alzolay, someone who's injured. Someone that you don't know what he is.
But I'm talking about like who's on the roster right now. You know, based on who's playing.
I can't use Edward Elzelay.
Nope.
Of the current,
it's not acceptable.
Okay.
It's not acceptable answer.
Of the current group, I would trade. I can't think of anyone. I think we could say trade Leiter Jr. You'll get more. I think we could say trade Merriweather because he's back. I just don't think there's anybody that I would look at and say you can't move him. There's nobody that fits that criteria.
Well, for me, Mark Leiter Jr. would be the guy that I think most teams would want because I think he is a guy where he hasn't proven to be the end guy, but I don't think he's really been given the opportunity. I think he's a guy you could give the ball to in the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, or the ninth.
He has value as a trade.
And get pretty good results, I think. And the guy right now that you wouldn't want if you were another team is Hayden Wisniewski because you just don't too many walks.
I'm sorry, is
too
he
many
not
home
hurt?
Runs?
Doesn't he? Isn't he?
No,
he's not
on the
roster.
Active, he's on the
not,
active roster. Right
he's
now.
On the IL, pal.
No, I don't think so.
Yes, he is.
No, Luke Little's on the IL.
Let's go.
Wow,
you couldn't come up with a name, but you could tell me my name is wrong.
You okay. Told me my name was wrong. I said
because
Albert Elzelay.
Yeah,
I'm gonna settle this.
Of course,
this.
Albert Elzelay's pitching in the ACL right
okay,
now.
I'm gonna settle this with the right answer. Okay, the right answer is Drew Smyly is the guy that people are going to want.
Because he's lefty?
Yes, and he's experienced, and he's been in the pennant races before. He's a veteran you trust. He can be used in a variety of ways. He can be your opener if you wish. There's three innings. Give us three innings, Drew. He can come in and be a lefty to face the tough lefty and stick around for a couple more batters. He can do whatever you ask him to do, and he hasn't been bad lately. I think he's the most likely guy to be asked for and be dealt. That I think is just common sense when you look at what teams might be looking for. Neris possibly, but I do think Neris probably scares teams that are good teams because of he's been erratic. Yeah, he's 8-2 with 14 saves, but he's blown a bunch and he's not been consistent. He's got 37 appearances. He needs 23 more in the remaining 59 games or so to hit that threshold and to kick in that contract clause. I don't know if he's going to get to 23. He won't get to 23 in Chicago. I'm pretty sure about that. If you trade him to a contender and they use him and overuse him, maybe he will. Maybe that's the best chance for his career. I think those are the two guys most likely to be asked about. Leiter Jr., yeah, but you're not going to get right. much for Leiter Jr. The guy who I think that there are no untouchables in a bullpen that's been erratic. But I wouldn't move Porter Hodge. I'd wait to see what I had.
Hayden Wisniewski on the 15-day injured list. He went on Saturday with a right forearm strain, Dustin.
Yeah, I don't really believe that.
Well, you should follow the news of
okay.
the day.
That was in the rundown.
No, I don't believe he actually – I believe they made up an injury so they don't have to use him anymore.
He'll be back.
There's a difference.
Wisniewski will be back.
Okay, next question.
Voice of Ozzie Guillen, 8 o'clock guest of Mully and Haw. What was the bigger story yesterday for the White Sox, Garrett Crochet's performance or his usage? Do you believe he will appear again with the team, or is that dream now over?
I don't know if his performance was the story because it was pretty much on brand. We have come to expect that kind of performance from Garrett Crochet. It wasn't the best performance in Major League Baseball last night. Paul Skeens did that. He was pretty good. And he lost.
Loser.
He lost
loser.
Too.
He's a loser.
He's his first loss since college. Garrett Crochet loses after going only four innings, and he only went four innings. That's the story. Yeah, he knew he was going to be on a pitch count, and yeah, he did. That he sounded like a guy, when you know you're going in and you're only going to have so many pitches, I do think it probably affects the way you pitch, the way you approach, the way you execute. So that's got to be a difficult reality to look at. I look at their schedule and I think, yeah, it's dramatic. We say it all the time. Could this be the last performance
bum, bum, bum.
For pitcher to be traded later? It could be, but I think also Sunday they play. So that's in 5 days. It could be Garrett Crochet on the mound at Guaranteed Rate Field.
For the last one.
Is this the last time you'll see Garrett Crochet stitch up
dun, dun, dun.
Some hitters? Whatever Crochet joke you want to make. I don't know if it will be. Unlikely. I think he pitches Sunday, then they trade him.
It's a powerful yarn.
I believe that Mully is 100% right. The next time we see Garrett Crochet start will be with the L.A. Dodgers.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The performance wasn't the story. The usage was the story. It was the pregame story where the manager basically said, wait till you see how we use him. And then he talked about being on a pitch count after the game. So it didn't work, whatever they were doing with him, because he got touched in the first inning. I think he's only allowed he had only allowed 3 runs up to that point, and he allowed 2 yesterday. 3 first inning runs the entire season, 2 yesterday. I got to tell you, I look at Garrett Crochet. I've been trying hard to find a place where I can live with all this, and I've decided that I'm gonna think to myself,
Nashville,
this is found money. This is found money. They didn't know going into the season what they had. They started him because they had to have someone that the fans had heard about to be their opening day starter. He's their opening day starter. He ends up being excellent, and then he's excellent and excellent. Now they're going to trade him. So it's like they found money, and they're going to get something for it, and I'm not going to be emotionally bruised by it.
Hmm.
Extend him.
Yes. Hey, well, here's another question.
Ah, Mark Rohde, 9 o'clock, talking Bears with Mully and Haw. Given the Bears' extraordinary improvement at wide receiver with the trade for Keenan Allen and the drafting of Rome Odunze, what have we forgotten about second-year man Tyler Scott? Looks pretty good in camp, right? From the clips you're seeing and the reports you've read, doesn't Scott seem to be building a pretty good relationship with Caleb Williams? Is he strictly a backup piece, or could he earn some downs before training camp is over?
You know, the beauty of a wide receiver core is you don't have to play every – you can have packages where other guys – you can use other people. You're not limited. It's not like the offensive line where you want to pick 5 and stay with you. You can move guys on and off the field and in different packages. I think you can use 4 receivers, no question. I think Tyler Scott is developing a really nice relationship with Caleb Williams from what I've seen, and I believe the reason that has happened is that the guy's got a lot of speed, and I think that Caleb Williams likes to go deep sometimes, and he's developed a good rapport with the kid, and he threw one over the head of Tyreek Stevenson yesterday, and Tyler Scott extended and caught the ball, and if you do that kind of thing in practice, you're going to catch the eye of not just the quarterback, but the coaches, etc. I think this is a guy that is adding something to the football team and that is going to be getting better as you go on. So you want him on your team. You look at him as the 4th guy. You think about different packages and different ways you can use him, and he's a threat to go deep in the field. So it's very important that you have players like that. You have young guys that are ready to step up, and it certainly seems to be the case.
Well, a couple things here. You're right. I mean, it's great to have a guy who can stretch the field. That's awesome. No doubt about that. It's nice to have a quarterback who can actually drop the ball in the arms of a guy who is stretching the field. And are we seeing, while he's had a pretty good camp from things we've seen, I mean, is Caleb Williams going after Tyreek Stevenson as opposed to throwing it to the other side where Jalen Johnson's at when it's ones versus ones? Is that something? Because we're seeing these big
happened last year
wow plays.
He did fine.
Right? Against Tyreek Stevenson, and he fell on the play that we're talking about from yesterday, and then he fell, and then Scott also fell, couldn't keep his feet to score the touchdown. So, listen, the good news is you got a quarterback that can actually put a ball in the hands of a guy who beats a cornerback down the field.
That is good news. Tyler Scott has to prove he can make the big catch, and his hands aren't an issue. I know that's unfair, but that is one of the more indelible memories from his rookie season. You got to come down with the ball. He can get open. He's shifty. He's fast. And he's going to be, I think, in a position where he can excel or succeed. You know, the Bears have a great trio of receivers, but you do want a wide receiving core. A core is 4. You need four guys, and he could be the fourth, and I think he could be pretty good in that role. Caleb Williams can get him the football. I think he's going to be able to get him the football in tight spots. He's also one of these guys that is a different element. He's more like DJ Moore than the other two guys, Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze. He's shifty, and he's fast, and he's a good run-after-the-catch guy. And I do think that they want to be in a position to trust him. If he's having a good camp, that bodes well for his season. And it also reflects well on Ryan Poles.
We drafted him.
Because you draft a guy who this is season two.
Yeah.
He should know.
Making a move.
He should know what it's like to be a professional, and you become more dependable. And you do that by, when the ball is thrown to you, you catch it.
DJ Moore is a one-man core.
Jeez.
T-shirt.
Okay.
Well, there's no question.
Defensive tackle Jervon Dexter looks leaner than ever and ready to take the next step for the Bears. How big will that step be in the second year?
I'm only going to be impressed if you could rhyme with Odunze. Okay. So Jervon Dexter spoke.
Doomsday.
And it wasn't so much about how he spoke or what he said. I have to say it was how he said it and how he looked.
Yeah, he looked great.
He's lean. He is
ran with the defensive ends.
A guy who ran with the defensive ends. He's conditioned. He's in shape. And that tells you a couple things. Number one, he's going to be somebody that might be better, quicker, and more ready for the challenge than he was as a rookie. Also, that he understands what it takes and what is required of a professional. And he knows that the Bears are counting on him to take that step. I think he could be, you could make the argument that he is as important as any defensive lineman they have because they need him to come through. You know what you're getting with Sweat. You know what you're getting with Big Billings. You know what you're getting with DeMarcus Walker to some degree. What will you get consistently from Jervon Dexter? What will you get from that spot? If you can get flashes, then I think that show you that he is a guy that can get that burst and be that explosive, this is going to be an even better defense.
Yeah, he could be a huge piece. You always like to see how a guy does from that freshman year to that sophomore year. Sounds like he's taking a break from the Susie Q's or the Nutter Butters at night. He said he's changed his diet
buns.
And snacking habits.
For honey buns.
Honey buns? Yeah. That was the specific one?
Honey buns. Okay.
Honey buns. So good for him. Also said he wants his name on the wall at Hallis Hall one day. So you just like a guy who's setting some goals for himself and wants to, you know, be part of that proud heritage that is the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I love that the guy's in shape. I love that he called himself marathon shape, right? Didn't he say so he's gotten into sprinter shape? He looks different. He looks leaner. Mm-hmm. He looks better, frankly. So he's still a big, strong dude. This is a guy, they drafted this guy for a reason. I forget who it was that we talked to, the draft guy, who pointed out that he fit a profile of the kind of player that Kansas City has gone after before, that a guy like Ryan Poles loves. And I think that he's fitting that character issue by getting himself in shape, by not going for the honey bun, by keeping himself sort of disciplined in the off season. It's a big step forward, and I believe it will be reflected in his game. You get yourself in that kind of shape, you're doing so in order to play, in order to make an impact. So I really like that news. I think that there are, from what I can tell, there are apparently three of these guys. I don't know about Pickens yet. I haven't heard enough about him, but I think that Dexter and Tariq Stevenson and Tyler Scott all seem to be willing, capable, ready to take another step in their second year with the Bears. That is great news. When you see names like that popping up and being repeatedly popping up, that's a really good sign. All right, there we go. We got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Did you like hearing Tommy Pham clear up the notion that the White Sox players have given up caring about their season while talking to A.J. Pierzynski on the Foul Territory podcast?
when you have our record, you know, you can't just be sitting around. That's just the truth. You know, you imagine being in a locker room full of guys who are just sitting around on their ass, on their behinds, and we're losing every day, you know, and most of these guys have options. So, that's just not allowed. And it's a young team. I'm the highest tenured player on the team now that Maldi's gone, and guys seeing me work the way I work and having the time that they have, I mean, it's not going to happen.
All right, so do you like hearing Tommy Pham say that the White Sox players have not given up on their season?
Well, I think that's what he's got to say. I think that's why he's here. And I'm not sure it's a coincidence that he's saying this loudly on a pretty popular podcast in the sport of baseball a week before the trade deadline. He's amplifying his biggest asset, and that is he's a guy that's going to set an example in your clubhouse. You're going to know Tommy Pham's there. He's going to lead from the front. And I think that for a young team like the White Sox, they can benefit from that example. For a team like a contender, maybe they don't need it, but they won't have to worry about Tommy Pham showing up with a damaged psyche because he's on the worst team in baseball history or any other things. Tommy Pham is a lightning rod to some people. He's been well-traveled for a reason, I suppose. But I like everything he said. I hope the White Sox haven't given up. They have different priorities than other teams that actually do win games. They have certainly a different mindset going into it. It's got to be difficult to go out there every night and know that your team is going to find a way to lose. The White Sox keep inventing new ways to lose. That's demoralizing. So I don't think that anyone should just dismiss that reality. It's a difficult one for the Sox fans to face, or Sox players to face on a daily basis. And Tommy Pham essentially saying that, yeah, these are young guys having to prove themselves, and he's willing to set an example because he feels like that's his responsibility. Good for him.
Well, yeah, good for Tommy Pham. But again, Tommy Pham didn't have a job when the season started. So he comes to the Sox, who are completely undermanned to start the season off, and he plays as hard as he can so that he can continue to get that big paycheck every other week or however it is that you get paid in baseball. So, I mean, would it be better to have given up per se, or is it worse to say that we just stink, we're just outmanned, we're no damn good as a collective group, and even though we're busting our rear ends, we're still on pace to be the worst team in the history of Major League Baseball?
You want to hear that on a daily basis from Sox players?
I'm asking, what's worse? Is it worse to know that they're playing like as hard as they can and they just stink collectively?
I think
it would be natural at this point when you get to 40 games more under 500.
I think Tommy Pham breaks his hump every day. I think he's a great player to have on the team. I think he's a really good baseball player. He's 36 years old, but I think he can help somebody because of his attitude and the way that he plays. I don't blame the players. They don't. It's Dustin saying they do not have the talent to be a competitive baseball team. They're just not good enough. And if everybody played like Tommy Pham, you'd have a better team. It's a good thing to show the young guys that, and it's a good thing to have a guy that is that tough a guy in your clubhouse. But this team looks can they get to 40 wins, David? They keep losing, and they keep losing these one-run games. They should have won now for God knows how long. That is going to add up at the end of the season.
They can get to 40.
They're in a nine-game losing streak.
I don't think they can get to 50. I don't think they can get to 45. I'm not sure they can get to 45.
I mean, 40 means 120, right? So they got to figure out how to get to 41.
40 would be 122, and that would set the record.
So they need to get to 41.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It doesn't look like it's...
They got 27 wins, and they're stuck on that number.
Their pitching continues to be pretty good, starting pitching, but they don't execute, and they do find ways to play dumb baseball and lose.
God.
That's the tough part.
Yeah.
Effort is one thing. Approach, attitude, all those things can be intangibly good. But if the talent is bad, it really can't overcome that.
I saw someone tweeted out that Baseball America dropped their new top 100, mm-hmm. and the White Sox have five players on it. I don't have access to that list because I'm not a subscriber. But I saw that the draft picks were included in it, and they moved someone in at like 48 or something. Their first round pick, Smith, was moved into that thing. So they got.
Well, the more you hear about Hagen Smith, the more you like, and you wonder about his accelerated path to the majors. You wonder how long it will be before he is up and pitching in a White Sox uniform. And then, as we said yesterday, this is the only morsel that you kind of can look at as nourishment of hope. The pitching.
I think Drew Thorpe is on that list still.
Yeah.
But he's like 58th or something. I mean, I think that guy is a professional pitcher.
Yes.
And I like him. In other words, I think he can play. But
Noah Schultz?
You are so. Well, Noah Schultz was eighth.
Noah Schultz, Drew Thorpe, Hagen Smith, Garrett Crochet,
maybe
Jonathan Cannon. You look at
Nestrini, maybe, if he comes back.
Well, you're going to need depth.
Eder, I don't know.
Well, yes, Eder, Uriarte, he was part of the no-hitter at Birmingham.
Yep.
When you look at the White Sox depth, and it was a great interview with Brian Bannister on the Midday Show yesterday, talking about his childhood in Palos Heights, growing up a Sox fan because of his dad in 83, and that's what drew him back and felt connected to the organization. When you look at the White Sox pitching infrastructure, the intellect, and the talent.
That's going to be good moving forward.
That's what you feel good about.
Yeah.
That's how you can get hope. That's why you look at just get through this year, survive it however you have to, do the Tommy Pham, and just mentally put yourself in a position to be a pro each and every day.
312-644-6767. Your call's next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
I believe that we will win.
Let me tell you what I believe.
I believe that.
I believe we will face everything.
I believe that we will win.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. Thanks to the Naval Academy.
Well, that'll get you pumped up. Yeah, the Naval Academy. There you go. The Naval Academy. I believe that we will win.
I believe.
I'm pumped.
Yeah, let's go. I don't know who we're chanting for right
now. I don't know
either. Let's go.
What were we
fired up?
Who were we trying to motivate there? I'm not quite sure who needs motivated more.
I believe that we will trade. I believe that.
Yeah, we've got one team staring at the trade deadline for help to build for the future, and the Cubs, who are going to sit this one out. So I believe that we will suffer. The Chicago baseball fans
the Chicago
lament
baseball
2024.
Fan. There you go.
I believe that we will suffer. That's it.
It's inevitable.
Or you can just change it very simply. I believe that we will lose.
Oh, no.
I mean.
We're not cheering for the losing, but the suffering we accept gladly.
Yeah, we accept the suffering, but you anticipate the losing.
Life is suffering, and my baseball shall reflect it.
Well, we're going to ask Ozzy 8 o'clock. He always makes his weekly choices. Cubs win, Cubs lose, Sox win, Sox lose. What do you think he says today?
I think the Sox are losing. That's just based on
watching
them lose. That's
going to be a 10-pack then.
And I think it's hard to win this afternoon. I told you, I thought the Cubs are going to win 2 or 3 against the Brewers.
Okay.
So I'm still sticking with that.
I am too, I guess.
But if they're shut out, then I don't think they can win. I'm going to go on the line.
Shut out, get out.
Yeah. If they draw, it doesn't happen. Not in baseball.
They should win this one.
They need a run.
They should win.
Just the one run.
Justin Steele is going for the Cubs. The bullpen is going for the Brewers.
Yes.
It's a bullpen day for the Milwaukee Brewers. They can do that when you have a 10-game lead over the team you're playing in the division. Cubs are back in action. Brewers series finale, Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage starts at 12:45, first pitch 1:20 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network.
That's beautiful. I can't wait for that. I love a good earlier game, and as you know. And I don't know, did you see any of the video yesterday of Steph Curry? See, I think the Milwaukee Brewers, the guys that aren't pitching, can do what Steph Curry did yesterday. They taped him just wandering around London, just kind of by himself, fitting into the crowd, sitting. It looked like he was...
I didn't see any of that.
Oh, no. It was so fantastic. He goes into this sports store, and there is like this Japanese couple, fellow tourists, and they're going to buy a Steph Curry jersey. And he's like, hey, he kind of yells at him, hey, you buying that jersey? That's a great jersey. That's the best jersey here. And the woman is kind of like, well, I'm thinking about it. And he, and then they show him signing the jersey for her. It was beautiful. It was just like a beautiful moment, Steph Curry wandering through London.
Well,
various
just,
brewers can do that in Chicago today.
Okay, it's
go to the Bean.
Steph Curry's first Olympics, so he's going to enjoy every moment. Yeah, I'm not sure what the Brewers pitchers are going to do today, except for probably baffle the Cubs hitters. That will be on brand.
My God,
and
that's so dark.
It's to be expected. Look, Jed Hoyer basically told us the season was over on Monday, and last night you were reminded why he came to that conclusion.
Let's try Greg. Greg is in Countryside. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's going on,
good.
Buddy? Yep.
I'm curious. So both the Cubs and the Sox lack offensive firepower, period, right? But they have some quality starting pitching. And I'm wondering if you think you could build an eight-man starting lineup between the two teams with a five-man rotation that would be a contender.
Yeah, I think you could. Because what the Cubs lack is a power hitter to build around that makes everybody else in the lineup different. If you have Luis Robert Jr. in the middle of the Cubs lineup, that's a different team, and I think you have a very different outlook for the rest of this season and beyond. So, hypothetically, with your thought exercise, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I could see that. You could come up with a playoff team if you combine the Cubs and the White Sox position players.
They're going to do that with the Dodgers.
Essentially.
What they're talking
about. The Dodgers are going to take half the White Sox. They're going to take the best players.
Chicago baseball, man. Who's the star of the Cubs? Who's the star of the Cubs? It's the guy with the broken middle finger, right?
Yeah.
And
Cody Bellinger.
And unfortunately, you're missing him.
Cody Bellinger has the highest salary. Dansby Swanson has the biggest contract. Neither of those guys has really played like a star this year. That's the problem. The Cubs have some very good complementary players. Very good. They need great. They need greatness.
Is Bellinger, will he opt back in next year, given how he's played?
Or yes.
Does he opt out, and then does he get more in the open market?
I don't think he wants to test the open market. We saw what happened last time that happened.
Yeah.
He overstated his value.
Yep.
Scott Boras misplayed his hand. I think Cody Bellinger will look at this season as one of disappointment. He will opt back into Chicago to want to maybe prove that he's – you know, better than this, might be motivated by that. I'm just reading into on July 24th speculation. Also, it might be premature. Who knows? If the Cubs are selling, I think that they may get some offers for Cody Bellinger if he's healthy more than any other player that they have. And the Phillies are rumored to be in there. The Phillies are serious about – now, that's a serious World Series contender. And if they come in and take Bellinger off the Cubs' hands, it would be disappointing too. But as far as next year's contract reality for Cody Bellinger, he hasn't really done enough this year to justify going onto the open market and finding out how little he's worth.
Chicago got the comforts of a full belly, so they're going to have to loosen their belts to keep Bellinger.
Mm.
Boy, he's got to work on his material.
I think, yes, Boras is not going to be saying that this year because – Cubs are hungry.
It's very
hungry for production.
But so what's really interesting
it's a half fill belly.
Okay, and I'm not arguing. Their belly is kind of growling.
Belly up.
Belly up to the bar. But they it seems as if he loves having every client hit free agency, but maybe not this time. I don't know. I'm very curious to see what happens. And to see him come back, they need that bat, and they need it quickly. All right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Did you like hearing Tommy Pham clear up the notion that the White Sox players have given up caring about their season while talking to A.J. Pruszynski on the Foul Territory podcast?
When you have our record, you know, you can't just be sitting around. That's just the truth. You know, you imagine being in the locker room full of guys who are just sitting around on their ass, on their behinds, and we're losing every day, you know, and most of these guys have options, so that, you know, that's just not allowed. And it's a young team. I'm the highest tenured player on the team now that Maldi's gone, and guys seeing me work the way I work and having the time that they have, I mean, it's not going to happen.
All right, so do you like hearing Tommy Pham say that the White Sox players have not given up on their season?
Well, I think that's what he's got to say. I think that's why he's here. And I'm not sure it's a coincidence that he's saying this loudly on a pretty popular podcast in the sport of baseball a week before the trade deadline. He's amplifying his biggest asset, and that is he's a guy that's going to set an example in your clubhouse. You're going to know Tommy Pham's there. He's going to lead from the front. And I think that for a young team like the White Sox, they can benefit from that example. For a team like a contender, maybe they don't need it, but they won't have to worry about Tommy Pham showing up with a damaged psyche because he's on the worst team in baseball history or any other things. Tommy Pham is a lightning rod to some people. He's been well-traveled for a reason, I suppose. But I like everything he said. I hope the White Sox haven't given up. They have different priorities than other teams that actually do win games. They have certainly a different mindset going into it. It's got to be difficult to go out there every night and know that your team is going to find a way to lose. The White Sox keep inventing new ways to lose. That's demoralizing. So I don't think that anyone should just dismiss that reality. It's a difficult one for the Sox fans to face, or Sox players to face on a daily basis. And Tommy Pham essentially saying that, yeah, these are young guys having to prove themselves, and he's willing to set an example because he feels like that's his responsibility. Good for him.
Well, yeah, good for Tommy Pham. But again, Tommy Pham didn't have a job when the season started. So he comes to the Sox, who are completely undermanned to start the season off. and he plays as hard as he can so that he can continue to get that big paycheck every other week or however it is that you get paid in baseball. So, would it be better to have given up per se, or is it worse to say that we just stink? We're just outmanned. We're no damn good as a collective group. And even though we're busting our rear ends, we're still on pace to be the worst team in the history of Major League Baseball.
You want to hear that on a daily basis from Sox players?
I'm asking, what's worse? Is it worse to know that they're playing like as hard as they can and they just stink collectively?
I think
it would be natural at this point when you get to 40 games more under 500.
I think Tommy Pham breaks his hump every day. I think he's a great player to have on the team. I think he's a really good baseball player. He's 36 years old, but I think he can help somebody because of his attitude and the way that he plays. I don't blame the players. They don't, it's Dustin saying, they do not have the talent to be a competitive baseball team. They're just not good enough. And if everybody played like Tommy Pham, you'd have a better team. It's a good thing to show the young guys that, and it's a good thing to have a guy that is that tough a guy in your clubhouse. But this team looks very, I mean, can they get to 40 wins, David? They keep losing, and they keep losing these one-run games. They should have won now for God knows how long. That is going to add up at the end of the season.
They could get to 40.
They're in a nine-game losing streak.
I don't think they can get to 50. I don't think they can get to 45. I'm not sure they can get to 45.
I mean, 40 means 120, right? So they got to figure out how to get to 41.
40 would be 122, and that would set the record.
So they need to get to 41.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I it doesn't look like it's...
They got 27 wins, and they're stuck on that number.
Their pitching continues to be pretty good, starting pitching, but they don't execute, and they do find ways to play dumb baseball and lose.
God.
That's the tough part.
Yeah.
Effort is one thing. Approach, attitude, all those things can be intangibly good, but if the talent is bad, it really can't overcome that.
I saw someone tweeted out that Baseball America dropped their new top 100, mm-hmm. and the White Sox have five players on it. I don't have access to that list because I'm not a subscriber, but I saw that the draft picks were included in it, and they moved someone in at like 48 or something. Their first round pick, Smith, was moved into that thing. So they got...
Well, the more you hear about Hagen Smith, the more you and you wonder about his accelerated path to the majors. You wonder how long it will be before he is up and pitching in a White Sox uniform. And then, as we said yesterday, this is the only morsel that you kind of can look at as nourishment of hope. The pitching.
I think Drew Thorpe is on that list still.
Yeah.
But he's like 58th or something. I mean, I think that guy is a professional pitcher.
Yes.
And I like him. In other words, I think he can play. But
Noah Schultz?
You are so... Well, Noah Schultz was 8th.
Noah Schultz, Drew Thorpe, Hagen Smith, Garrett Crochet,
maybe
Jonathan Cannon. You look at
Nestrini, maybe, if he comes back.
Well, you're going to need depth.
Eder, I don't know.
Well, yes, Eder, Uriarte, he was part of the no-hitter at Birmingham. Yeah. When you look at the White Sox depth, and it was a great interview with Brian Bannister on the Midday Show yesterday, talking about his childhood in Palos Heights, growing up a Sox fan because of his dad in 83, and that's what drew him back and felt connected to the organization. When you look at the White Sox pitching infrastructure, the intellect, and the talent,
that's going to be good moving forward.
That's what you feel good about. Yeah. That's how you can get hope. And that's why you look at just get through this year, survive it however you have to, do the Tommy Pham, and just mentally put yourself in a position to be a pro each and every day.
312-644-6767. Your call's next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
I believe that we will win.
Let me tell you what I believe.
I believe that.
I believe we will face everything.
I believe that we will win.
Hear you say.
Ian Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Thanks to the Naval Academy.
Well, that'll get you pumped up. Yeah, the Naval Academy. There you go. The Naval Academy. I believe that we will win.
I believe.
I'm pumped.
Yeah, let's go.
Got
I don't know who we're chanting for right now.
I don't know
now,
who either.
But let's go.
What were we?
Fired
who
up.
Who were we trying to motivate there? I'm not quite sure who needs motivated more.
I believe that we will trade. I believe.
Yeah, we've got one team staring at the trade deadline for help to build for the future, and the Cubs, who are going to sit this one out. So I believe that we will suffer. The Chicago baseball fans
the Chicago
lament
baseball
2024.
Fan. There you go.
I believe that we will suffer. That's it.
It's inevitable.
Or you can just change it very simply. I believe that we will lose.
Oh, no.
I mean,
we're not cheering for the losing, but the suffering we accept gladly.
Yeah, we accept the suffering, but you anticipate the losing.
Life is suffering, and my baseball shall reflect it.
Well, we're going to ask Ozzy 8 o'clock. He always makes his weekly choices. Cubs win, Cubs lose, Sox win, Sox lose. What do you think he says today?
I think the Sox are losing. That's just based on watching them lose.
That's going to be a 10-pack then.
And I think it's hard to win this afternoon. I told you, I thought the Cubs are going to win 2 or 3 against the Brewers.
Okay.
So I'm still sticking with that.
I am too, I guess.
But if they're shut out, then I don't think they can win. I'm going to go on the line.
Shut out, get out.
Yeah. If they draw, it doesn't happen. Not in baseball.
They should win this one.
They need a run.
They should win.
Just the one run.
Justin Steele is going for the Cubs. The bullpen is going for the Brewers.
Yes.
It's a bullpen day for the Milwaukee Brewers. They can do that when you have a 10-game lead over the team you're playing in the division. Cubs are back in action. Brewers series finale, Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage starts at 12:45, first pitch 1:20 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network.
That's beautiful. I can't wait for that. I love a good earlier game, and as you know. And I don't know, did you see any of the video yesterday of Steph Curry? See, I think the Milwaukee Brewers, the guys that aren't pitching, can do what Steph Curry did yesterday. They taped him just wandering around London, just kind of by himself, fitting into the crowd, sitting. It looked like he was...
see any of that.
Oh, no. It was so fantastic. He goes into this sports store, and there is like this Japanese couple, fellow tourists, and they're going to buy a Steph Curry jersey. And he's like, hey... He kind of yells at him, hey, you buying that jersey? That's a great jersey. That's the best jersey here. And the woman is kind of like, well, I'm thinking about it. And then they show him signing the jersey for her. It was beautiful. It was just like a beautiful moment, Steph Curry wandering through London.
Well,
Brewers can do that in Chicago
okay,
today.
Okay.
Go to the Bean.
Steph Curry's first Olympics, so he's going to enjoy every moment. Yeah, I'm not sure what the Brewers pitchers are going to do today, except for probably baffle the Cubs hitters. That will be on brand.
And that's so dark.
It's to be expected. Look, Jed Hoyer basically told us the season was over on Monday, and last night you were reminded why he came to that conclusion.
Let's try Greg. Greg is in Countryside. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's going on,
good.
Buddy? Yep.
I'm curious, so both the Cubs and the Sox lack offensive firepower, period, right? But they have some quality starting pitching. And I'm wondering if you think you could build an 8-man starting lineup between the two teams with a 5-man rotation that would be a contender.
Yeah, I think you could. Because what the Cubs lack is a power hitter to build around that makes everybody else in the lineup different. If you have Luis Robert Jr. in the middle of the Cubs lineup, that's a different team, and I think you have a very different outlook for the rest of this season and beyond. So, hypothetically, with your thought exercise, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I could see that. You could come up with a playoff team if you combine the Cubs and the White Sox position players.
They're going to do that with the Dodgers.
Essentially.
Yeah. What they're talking
the about. The Dodgers are going to take half the White Sox. They're going to take the best players.
Chicago baseball, man. Who's the star of the Cubs? Who's the star of the Cubs? It's the guy with the broken middle finger, right?
Yeah.
And
Cody Bellinger.
And unfortunately, you're missing him.
Cody Bellinger has the highest salary. Dansby Swanson has the biggest contract. neither of those guys has really played like a star this year. That's the problem. The Cubs have some very good complementary players. Very good. They need great. They need greatness.
Is Bellinger, will he opt back in next year, given how he's played?
Or yes.
Does he opt out, and then does he get more in the open market?
I don't think he wants to test the open market. We saw what happened last time that happened. He overstated his value.
Yep.
Scott Boras misplayed his hand. I think Cody Bellinger will look at this season as one of disappointment. He will opt back into Chicago to want to maybe prove that he's – you know, better than this, might be motivated by that. I'm just reading into on July 24th speculation. Also, it might be premature. Who knows? If the Cubs are selling, I think that they may get some offers for Cody Bellinger if he's healthy more than any other player that they have. And the Phillies are rumored to be in there. The Phillies are serious about – now, that's a serious World Series contender. And if they come in and take Bellinger off the Cubs' hands, it would be disappointing too. But as far as next year's contract reality for Cody Bellinger, he hasn't really done enough this year to justify going onto the open market and finding out how little he's worth.
Chicago got the comforts of a full belly, so they're going to have to loosen their belts to keep Bellinger.
Mm. Boy, he's got to work on his material.
I think, yes, Boras is not going to be saying that this year because Cubs are hungry.
It's very
They're hungry for production.
But so what's really interesting
it's a half fill belly.
Okay, and I'm not arguing. Their belly is kind of growling.
Belly up.
Belly up to the bar. But they it seems as if he loves having every client hit free agency, but maybe not this time. I don't know. I'm very curious to see what happens. And to see him come back, they need that bat, and they need it quickly. All right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 is score.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.